Hi, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Innovate Finance, our podcast series where we speak to industry leaders on financial innovation and fintech. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Music, and Google Podcasts. I'm Janine Hurt, CEO of Innovate Finance, and today I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Kunal Janji, Managing Director and Partner at Boston Consulting Group. Kunal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Janine. Pleasure to be here.
Now, Kunal, can you tell us a bit more about your role at BCG and some more about your background as well?
Sure. So, as you said, I'm a managing director and partner in our London office of BCG, and I lead our payments business here in the UK, in Belgium, and in the Netherlands. And I'm also part of our global payments management team, as part of which I look at globally our market infrastructure and network client business, as well as I lead globally our open banking and open finance propositions, as well as most of the work we do on digital currencies, including CBDCs and stablecoins. So I've been very fortunate to be in a very, very exciting part of the market. It's never a dull day, as you say, in this industry. And we are also very delighted to have partnered with Innovate Finance for a number of years, and that may continue.
And we are delighted to have you as a partner within our ecosystem and a very valued partner. Now, tell us a little bit more about BCG's vision and mission, and what are the key problems that you are trying to solve?
Sure. So at Boston Consulting Group, we have a very simple statement that encapsulates our broader purpose as a global business consulting firm, which is unlocking the potential of those who advance the world. And we try to live our purpose on a daily basis through our work by focusing on five of our purpose principles, which are around bringing insights to light by challenging traditional thinking. We drive inspired impact by looking beyond the next deadline to the next decade. We conquer complexity by discovering unique sources of competitive advantage for our clients. We lead with integrity by confronting some of the hard issues, but staying true to our values. We grow by growing others, enabling our clients, colleagues, and the broader community to build success. And our values are the core building blocks of our culture and are very much embedded in our everyday work. And some of those values are primary to the way we operate, including integrity, respect for the individual, diversity, our clients come first, our strategic perspective, and importantly, the value deliver and the impact we can bring to both the society and our clients.
I absolutely love the focus on values because it is so important when we look to really transform industry and put that at the heart of what we do. And building on that, let's dive into the ESG space more broadly. I mean, we are very aware that Boston Consulting Group works closely with clients to help accelerate their climate and their sustainability journey. How do you do this? And are there any challenges in particular that you've faced?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very important question, Janine, and a very, very important part of the society debate today. Particularly on climate, I think this change is sweeping pretty much every industry, and many, many companies are reimagining how to incorporate sustainability into their business. Now, we work as BCG with our clients to accelerate their climate and sustainability journey. We help them with identifying and harnessing climate innovation. We look at embedding sustainability at scale in their business, and how to capture value they create. And when looking at sustainable investing and finance in particular, it's important to highlight how financial institutions in particular are considered change agents for financing net zero globally, right? And with their ability to direct capital flows into sustainability and sustainable economic activities, they exert a tremendously positive impact on our world's climate. In our recent report that we have done with Rockefeller Foundation called Better Climate Financing Depends on Better Data, we address some of those key challenges that you're asking about. First of all, there is really no consensus on how to measure and report climate finance. We also know there are significant data gaps that result in an incomplete picture. And despite these limitations, our analysis reveals there is a seismic shortfall in financing available today around climate. Now, at BCG, we've developed a product called BCG CO2FI, which provides our clients with the best possible emissions estimate for each individual asset. And we are using that data set to provide better sustainability journey and climate journey for our clients. Yeah. And we're doing similar work in the kind of social aspect of ESG as well, which again is very, very important.
So let's build then on the social aspect, because we know that we're in the midst of one of the deepest cost of living crises that we've seen in decades. What approach are you at Boston Consultant Group taking to support your clients? And also, what are the trends that you currently see existing within consumers, and why do you think that these trends exist?
Yeah, I mean, this is a absolutely hot topic for a number of our clients across a number of the industries. Now, we have done a lot of research in many markets, but I think there are some real common themes from a consumer standpoint. We know that global inflation and declining real wages have plunged consumers into a cost of living crisis. Many consumers, in particularly the developed markets, believe that their country, their own country, is already in recession, and that includes US and UK consumers. Inflation that has hit 40-year highs in some of these major economies, we also expect that remains to be the case for the next couple of years, at least. In response, what we are seeing is that consumers are changing their buying behavior. They're spending more on non-discretionary categories, such as gas, fuel, utilities, and they're either spending less or trading down in some of the discretionary categories, such as alcohol, fashion, cosmetics. Yeah, they're looking for promotions. They're shopping online to get better prices. They're becoming a bit more savvy with their finances. Now, that type of work and the research that we do for our clients both helps us understand the consumer sentiment, but it also drives, as a result of those insights, some real tangible actions that our clients, particularly in industries like consumer goods, are taking, and fashion and retail are taking, to counter and support their customers in a better way.
I mean, it's so interesting then to look at that deep dive. I mean, bringing it into the fintech activity that we're seeing, where in the world and what parts of the world are you seeing the most fintech activity? And how does the UK tend to differ from the rest of the world there? And any stats you have would be really helpful as well.
Sure. This is something, Janine, as you know, we work a lot in the fintech space. We have BCG Fintech Control Tower, which monitors more than 3,000 fintechs or more in many, many categories, more than 180 segments. So as a result of the work we do, we also monitor a lot of the investment. Now, overall, 2022 received the second largest amount of funding on record, which sounds odd because we also know that 2022 was very depressed compared to 2021. But and the level of investment in 2021 was around 140 billion. In 2022, that went down to 80 billion. But that's because 2021 was a bit of an anomaly. And the amount of funding that continues to be in the fintech space is still pretty significant. Now, America continue to see the largest funding, followed by the EMEA and then the Asia-Pac system. However, European fintech ecosystem has seen a massive amount of improvement versus some of the other region in 2022. So, for example, we saw a roughly $25 billion worth of investment in European fintechs in 2022. Now, even though that decline was about 25% versus 2021, it was still lower than the global average of 43% decline. Secondly, we also have seen versus 2020, the investments in European fintechs almost double. So that they have seen 119% increase in the activity compared to the 58% that we have seen globally. So European fintechs are continuing to really perform well. Now, within the European fintech space, UK is clearly by far the leader in terms of the activity that we see. The UK has seen about 13 billion of the 24, 25 billion, 13 billion have gone into UK fintechs. Now, compared to global numbers, even though Europe saw a decline of 25%, UK only saw a decline of 15% versus 2021. Similarly, we have also seen UK driving the doubling of the investments of roughly 120%, even in Europe, versus the 58% globally that I mentioned. So we think UK within the fintech space in Europe, but also globally, is clearly a leading destination, which we're very pleased about.
Us as well. And I think it's we've talked about this a lot, Kunal, but even more important that we keep up that momentum and we make sure that the UK is the best place to start, scale, and build a fintech business. So here's a question. What are your top three predictions in fintech and regtech going forward?
So, well, insofar as I have a crystal ball, basing it on facts, 2021 was a year of abundance. Yeah, 2022 has been a year of relative scarcity. Now, as we move into 2023, we believe funding will likely remain scarce, but the long-term health of the fintech ecosystem, we expect to remain relatively robust, particularly as companies focus on building sustainable unit economics and new business models to foster their growth. Certain companies, we believe, will struggle in this market, which will basically give rise to additional consolidation activity. Thirdly, we also think that the trend of digital transformation will continue, and that level of activity around some digital native fintechs supporting that digital transformation agenda will possibly see an increased level of activity. And then finally, I think what we are hearing from our private equity and VC clients is that they want their fintechs to build for profitability going forward, as well as have better cash reserves counter some of the challenges around funding.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hear similar pieces across our ecosystem. So I think very much spot on. So now let's move into the high-speed race to success around open banking to open data. And we were so delighted to collaborate with you on a report as of late around this journey and around open banking and the use cases and the pathway forward. How can the democratization of data foster innovation?
Yeah, thank you, Janine. We have been very delighted to partner with you and your team on the report as well. So thank you for that opportunity. Now, currently, as we know, the payments, it's only really payments accounts and some of the SME lending products such as commercial credit cards and unsecured loans that are included in the scope of open banking in the UK. Now, as we move to a vision of open finance, opening up data is going to be clearly a key component of that. Now, in order for the innovation to come through as a result of that, we think as you start to include more products and more data sets into the scope of open banking or open finance, including all savings accounts, products like pensions, investment accounts, insurance, other lending products such as mortgages, etc., you will see much, much more level of information being available to organizations that will in turn result in better innovative products, but also, very importantly, a stronger set of insights that support businesses and consumers in making more informed decisions. And I think that is that's the current gap we see in open banking. And as you open up and bring more and more data into that decision-making and insights generation, you will see consumers and businesses benefiting, but also more and more commercial propositions coming to the market, which is also very important to maintain a level of healthy ecosystem around open banking and open finance.
And building and digging in a bit deeper on this, how specifically can open banking be leveraged to better support the consumer? And any success stories, for example, that you can share with us as well?
Sure. So see, open finance, we think, can become a tool to help lighten the impact on consumers and SMEs, particularly in a high cost of living environment as we're living in today. Now, as you provide more complete picture of a household income and outgoing payments, you know, forecasting possible future scenarios during a time of volatile prices, energy costs, and interest rates, you can also potentially look at through this enhanced data ecosystem on providing guidance and advice on many ways to manage finances for consumers and businesses. We also see fintechs leading on some of the tool development that directly offered end consumers and to their financial institution customers some of these support mechanisms. So one of the fintech players, for example, that we have spoken to as part of this report, they have implemented some solutions for consumers to monitor their subscription spend, while another provider is offering free money management and budgeting app. There are many, many other providers who have come up with use cases, including how to manage and enhance your credit scores, as well as how do you better improve your financial health. And all of those solutions today that exist, we believe will become even better as the scope of data and products enhances in the UK.
100% agree. And there's so much opportunity. So looking forward to a positive future as well and pushing that out. So let's shift the conversation slightly, Kunal, to diversity and inclusion. And what are some of the initiatives that BCG is currently doing to tackle the issues within this space?
Thank you, Janine. Another very important area that we work in. And we engage with some of the leading private and public sector organizations, as well as NGOs, to build inclusive businesses and DEI programs for our clients. Beyond our work with the clients, we also invest as BCG substantially in proprietary DEI research. And every year, we publish very many actionable recommendations to drive better and improve DEI outcomes, both for ourselves, but also for our clients and the world at large. We also collaborate with organizations that are leading the way on DEI issues to drive change through partnership and generate lasting impact on business and environment. For example, we work around Bloomberg Equality and the Conference Board with the Female Quotient, Women's Forum for the Economy and Society, UN for Women, World Economic Forum's Partnering for Racial Justice and Business Initiative. So we, as BCG, have invested a significant amount of effort and continue to do so in the leading forums to support the agenda at large.
That's amazing. And are there any critical areas that need developing in order to succeed when it comes to the topic of D&I?
So organizations need to rethink and broaden diversity, equity, and inclusion to create competitive advantage. Yeah. Now, organizations often focus their DEI efforts just on employee experience primarily, which is, we believe, just too narrow in focus. Programs typically look at talent aspect rather than the broader view of business and society. Now, we all know there is a significant amount of social movement happening today. We've all just been through the COVID-19 pandemic, and the great resignation drive is still continuing. Yeah. Now, that basically means that it's even more urgent now for businesses to act as agents of change. The expectation for corporate advancement have become even more expansive in scope. And we believe there are three big areas across talent, business, and society where businesses need to focus on as part of their DEI efforts. And we also think there are questions that remain about how to deliver these DEI programs effectively. And I think to make real progress, the companies will need to shift the mindset from DEI as do good, signaling to move and deliver long-term sustainable advantage by looking broader and by improving the journey for all of the stakeholders they engage with.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So finally, Kunal, what's next for Boston Consulting Group?
Oh, there's so much. But for now, I have to say we are very much looking forward to engaging with the policymakers, with the regulators around our mission on open finance. There is a lot of work happening in central bank digital currencies, which we are also, all of us are getting involved in. And we see a lot of positive movement, both in the UK and globally. And within our part of the business in financial institution, there is a lot of activity around digital journeys, supporting customers in a better way. And we continue to support that for our clients.
Well, Kunal, thank you so much. There's some exciting news to end on there as well. And thank you very much for joining us on this episode. And thanks to the audience for listening in as well. Now, please keep an eye out for our upcoming Coffee with Innovate Finance episodes. All our previous episodes are available on our website, so please do take a look at our catalog for many more insights on fintech and financial inclusion. And thank you so much once again to our guest today, Kunal Janji, Managing Director and Partner at Boston Consulting Group. And thank you all at home for listening. Join us next time for Coffee with Innovate Finance. Bye for now.